This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know, at that moment in my life, I was very broken because that was my best friend. Like when I say my best friend, my best friend, I still haven't found anybody that is that can ever be her. Oh. Right. And she was just this supportive person for me. And so when I lost that support, I didn't feel like I had a place in this world anymore. I felt very lost. I felt like my purpose, I didn't have one anymore. And so I found myself one night in my apartment in Indianapolis, Indiana. I was in a one bedroom apartment on the floor after jumping out of the bed and like anxiousness and anxiety. And I was ready to take my life. And I was just like, you know, God, I just started praying. I was like, I need something.
Style Crew, we are here in a new year with a new season, a new episode, a new guest, and I am so excited to talk about this topic. And I thought this would be a great way to kick off the series for the new year. The topic that we're talking about today is pursuing a vision through fear and adversity. And the reason I thought that this is important is because each time we have a new year, we have new opportunities to explore new things, new relationships, new career paths, just a myriad of things. But after the newness of the new year wears off, it's easy to get discouraged or push those things by the side. But with the help of our guest today, we're not going to do that. So I want to start by welcoming Shannon.
Yeah.
And her business is Peace Over Problems. She is a motivational speaker. And we are so excited to have her here. So I want to welcome Shannon in by reading over her bio. Shannon, Mrs. Choose Peace Williams, is a motivational speaker who empowers women to overcome worry and embrace peace through faith. After losing both parents to cancer, she found healing and adopted the mantra, peace over problems. Rooted in resilience and spiritual growth, Shannon inspires others to choose peace in the face of life's challenges. Her mission is to show that peace is always an option, no matter the storm. So, Shannon, I just want to welcome you in again. After reading over your bio, I have no doubt that the listeners will want to hear more about your story and your journey to motivational speaking, especially considering it involved the loss of two such significant people, such as your parents. Mm-hmm. You know, any type of loss is not easy to navigate, but especially when it's your parents. Those are the people that have guided us and, you know, given us life. So I just want to first welcome you in and and give you the opportunity to start by sharing your story that led you to becoming a motivational speaker.
Yes. Well, thank you for having me. I'm so excited for this conversation that we're going to have today. I know the audience would definitely find something in this conversation to bring them peace. And that is always the goal for me. But as you said, yes, I'm a motivational speaker now, right? Like me embracing that now is sometimes even, you know, I laugh about it. Sometimes it's like, wow, I'm a motivational speaker, but I am, right? And that came about after losing my mom, my brand in general, piece of a problems, right? I lost my mom at the age of 29 in 2015. And, you know, at that moment in my life, I was very broken because that was my best friend. Like when I say my best friend, I still haven't found anybody that is, that can ever be her. Right. And she was just this supportive person for me. And so when I lost that support, I didn't feel like I had a place in this world anymore. I felt very lost. I felt like my purpose, I didn't have one anymore. And so I found myself one night in my apartment in Indianapolis, Indiana. I was in a one-bedroom apartment on the floor after jumping out of the bed and like anxiousness and anxiety. And I was ready to take my life. And I was just like, you know, God, I just started praying. I was like, I need something. And I tell people this, it's like, I knew I wasn't going to take my life because I went and got a butter knife. Like, what was I really about to do with a butter knife, right? But, you know, in my head, I was going to do something.
Even the fact that you had the thought.
Right.
Is exactly. Alarming enough.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I knew like I didn't want to choose to take my life, but I knew I wanted to be with my mom as well. And so I'm like, God, I need something. I need some relief in this moment. And I was like, I just need peace. And literally I felt he spoke to me and was just like, I'm going to give you peace over this problem. And literally after that day, I started saying that and people would talk to me about certain things. And like, I'm a crafter and I would craft stuff. And I'd be like, you know, my brand is Piece of a Problems. And they're like, oh my God, I love that name. And, you know, I tell the story and people are always like, we need that. Like, you know, people say faith over fear. They're like, no, we need peace over our problems. And I'm like, that's really how you could tackle your problems is if you are in peace, because you can't do anything from a chaotic state. You can't do anything when you don't have clarity. And so for me, it was the peace that helped me overcome and deal with and get a grip on my life and where I wanted to go in my grieving process of losing my mom.
So you said a few things that I want to touch on that I think are really important. So the first thing is that, again, I'm extremely sorry for the loss of both of your parents. From what I've heard through conversations from people that have contemplated and or attempted suicide, it's, and I'm interested to hear your feedback on this. Mm-hmm. What I have heard from them is that, to tie it into what you said of like, I didn't really want to die because you grabbed a butter knife, but right. It's more so like they don't, there's, in the moment or in that season, they're not able to see that there's another solution to resolving that pain.
Correct.
That they're feeling.
Correct.
Would you describe your experience as that?
Yeah, I would. And that's why Peace Over Problems is what it is today, because I want to encourage people to choose God's eternal peace over temporary problems. Like I knew that was just a moment. I knew that there was more life for me. I knew that I would begin to, you know, feel better and be able to live a life without my mom. I knew that, but at that moment, it was so hard to see that. And that is what it, that's where I was. I was just like, I don't have anywhere else to go. I don't have any more life to live. This is it. But when I, you know, again, I, you know, I love to say God is really a comedian, right? Like, he makes us do certain things that we have to laugh at ourselves. Because me going to grab the butter knife, that was the laughable moment for me. It's like God was like, okay, I'm going to allow her to think this, but I'm not going to allow her to act on it. So she went and got a butter knife, right? Like, I'm going to divert her. Like, I had so many other knives in the kitchen, but I got the butter knife, right? And so I feel like that was also God's hand and presence in my life, me grabbing something that was dull. And because he knew that he had more for me. And because of that, I knew at that moment that there was more for me too. I knew that my journey wasn't supposed to stop right there. And I've encountered other moments where the enemy definitely tried to attack me and attack my peace and make me think that without my mom, I'm not supposed to be here, right? I remember even being in traffic in Atlanta a few years ago, and I had a panic attack out of nowhere, and the worst one I've ever experienced. And it was even God's voice and my mom's voice that I heard at that moment say, he's not done with you. So it's those moments when you get quiet, like right before you think it's about to end, that he comes in and he literally saves our lives. And it could be the quietest moment and the smallest whisper and the lightest, like, you know, whisper that we can hear. And that's, for me, that's what it was. And I really pray for other people that may experience those thoughts, that they just be still for a moment, you know, and allow God to move in their life, because no one is meant to take their life. We're not supposed to end our lives. Only he has that ability.
I receive that. And I'm grateful that you're one willing to share your testimony as a way to release that from you, because that's a moment. It's not definitive of who you are. That's an experience you had that has gotten you to this point, which is your ministry, but also just to shed light on someone who may have felt that, or maybe in this moment right now feeling that, because even in a new year, it's still easy to carry those feelings if you haven't been able to find resolve and get to peace. So one thing that you touched on, you mentioned that temporary problems. And so I want to give you the opportunity to help someone who may be in a season of grief, because when you lose a loved one, that is, it's permanent. So what helps you come to the conclusion that even though physically on earth, my mom is gone, but this is temporary? How did you resolve that to get to a state of peace?
You know, having conversations around death can always be very hard with others who may have not experienced such a great loss. And so I find myself being able to have those conversations and tell people that my mom's passing was for my purpose, right? And me knowing that now, and knowing that, you know, her life wasn't to see me through my purpose, but just to set me up for my purpose. I would always encourage somebody to know that sometimes we see chaos and tragic things happen in our lives, and we're like, why me? But it's like, what is this for? Right? Like, I experienced this for more or for greater, and I have to now seek that. And that is what I began to do, is like, okay, my mom passed before I had children, before I'm married. And I just knew she would be in all those moments of my life. And if she's not there in those moments of my life, what else, you know, how do I fill that void, right? And so for me, it's giving back, it's being of service to others. That's how I fill my void. So I had to find what brought me joy again. And that's always being the giver that I am, the person who's like to serve others. And so I will always encourage somebody, find what brings you joy again. Because that is the long term. That is the eternal part of it. You know, chaos is temporary. Tragedy is temporary. Grief is even temporary. Levels of grief. You know, we talk about grief and we only talk about it on the surface level of losing someone. But we have to talk about losing a job or losing a home, grieving friendships and things like that. Because some people struggle even in those moments. But I like to tell them that's also temporary. If you lose a friend, they weren't meant to be in your life. They probably weren't. They probably were to do something down the line that you would not have been able to handle, and God had to remove them. If you lost a job, it's probably because it was going to keep you away from your family, or you weren't going to be able to grow and truly walk into purpose. And those are the things that we have to accept, is that when we lose things, it is meant for something better in our life to come along. And even though I have to sit with losing two parents, I know that their loss was for greater purpose for my life. And I also say this, I came in this world alone. I'm gonna die alone. My mom was not with me when I, you know, she gave birth to me for sure, but I'm just a one person. You know, I wasn't, like I said, she wasn't meant to be here to see me in purpose, but she was able to set me up for my purpose.
Ooh, girl, Tony Robbins and Brene Brown better move out the way. Because Shannon is coming through.
Okay.
No, I'm really inspired by everything that you're saying. And the other thing that I wanted to ask you, from that moment that night where you were heavily contemplating taking your own life, after you had that encounter with God, did peace come to you instantaneously? Now, okay, you're shaking. Okay, so tell us. So can you describe that journey to peace after that moment?
So I always tell people, the person that they see today, the calm, the very, like, you know, peace-filled person is not who I always was, right? I was a, I didn't care, I'm gonna tell you how I feel, all those things, right? And so that was a journey, but I made the decision that I no longer wanted that part of my life. I had to shed old habits, old mindsets, old ways. Like, I just had to let go of the things that I felt were almost like dead leaves on my tree, right? I had to release those things in order to receive the peace that I now have. And
this podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast. To our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Which means that I had to change perspective on things. Like, I had to view life almost totally different. And so when I was back in Indiana, I would definitely be in my word, definitely going to church. And the crazy thing is, it was a church that I started attending in Indianapolis that when I first went, I was like, I'm never coming back here. Like, the pastor went on and he preached around the word. And I was just like, I don't even know what the message was. But somehow God brought me back to that church. And I know he brought me back to that church because he knew I was going to come to this point in my life where I wanted to take my life and I needed to see that there was more, because the pastor talks about how his father committed suicide. And every time he shared that story, it was heavy. And I resonated with it so much. And it made me say, and he'll talk about it like, that's a long-term solution. That's a permanent solution. And every time he would talk about that, I'm like, it is. And I'm so happy that I did not make that decision. So it made me consciously think about it every single time, like, Shannon, you have to have peace, because if you don't have the peace, you could go back to that state and you can make that permanent decision that you know you don't want to make and God doesn't want you to make. So again, I had to shed parts of me. I had to let go of my old ways, old thinking, and bring in and receive and welcome new thoughts, new ways, and remind myself constantly that I was made for more. This is not the end of my story. I was 30 at that point, 31. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I still want to be a mom and a wife. Like, and I know God wants that for me too. So I have to keep going.
Walk us through what that process was like of reconditioning your mind.
Positive words, speaking to myself, not allowing what others thought about me to define who I was as a person at that time. Because as I was on a journey of revelation for myself and finding more peace, my family and friends still saw me as the old Shannon. So where I would enter and maybe into a confrontation or a conversation that was like a fire conversation, I would go back and forth toe to toe with somebody. I now was like, okay. Like just knowing that everything is not meant to fight, you know, because God fights my battles. I don't have to argue with you. I don't have to do anything but agree to disagree. So the process for me was making sure I had, and I wasn't good on boundaries. So I can't say my boundaries were very strong because they weren't. But I had a wall that was up that allowed me to block out the negativity that kept trying to come back into my life. And so I was able to feed my spirit with positive words, positive affirmation, positive scriptures, and just around the word in general, because there was moments, and the only person I can really say saw my journey, and I love her to death, is my sister-in-law. And she would always remind, she's like, I remember where you were. I'm so proud of you, because I was like, and she's like, I see how you just block things out now. And I said, and I do, because if it messes with my peace, if it compromises in any way, I really don't want to entertain it.
So I want to ask, what is peace? How do you define peace for yourself? What does that mean for you?
So now,
and by the way, y'all, we haven't gotten to any of our questions.
I know.
We've only done one. This is our, we're flowing.
I know. Now I look at the word peace differently. In the last year, I've come to find the word peace. My middle name is Olivia. It's a name. Thank you. It's a name.
You don't be around here be Olivia Pope, and do you?
Right. And that was the first time I embraced my middle name, because I did not like it. I'm like, really? Don't nobody. Yes. I did not want to be called. My family was the only people that could call me Olivia. They'll call me Olivia. Like they will all have their own.
It's such a beautiful name.
Yeah. And I'm named after my great grandmother. And I was just like, do not call me Olivia. Nobody. Right. And I was running from it. And then a year ago, like I felt like God was like, she really doesn't believe that peace over problems is what she's supposed to be doing. She really doesn't believe that peace is what I need her to share in this world. She really doesn't believe that. So one day I randomly was looking up like baby names, and I'm like, why am I looking up baby names? I'm not pregnant. I'm not even in a relationship, right? Like, why am I doing this? And it said the top baby names was Olivia. And then I was like, oh, wow. And I kept reading, and it said that Olivia in Latin meant peace. I fell out my chair. Right? I was the same. I was like, wait, hold on. So peace over problems.
And you have been running from embracing that.
Exactly. And it's been with me since birth. It's been with me since birth.
The peace has been with you since birth.
Yeah.
And once you surrendered to, now don't let me put words in your mouth. I'm just telling you what I'm feeling.
No, for sure. Moment.
But once you surrendered to that and embraced the peace.
Yeah,
here you are, this woman that we're listening to now.
Yes, and I'm all about peace, and I thought that was so crazy. So now I'm like, when people are like, what's your name, Olivia? It means peace. You know, like I'm now proud to say it and all the things, but for a long time I ran from that. And so it made me gave a different definition for the word peace for me. You know, before that time, peace for me was just not allowing the smallest things to affect where I'm going. To affect what I'm doing, you know, and that could be, you know, I live in Atlanta. This traffic is crazy. That could compromise my peace on any given day, you know. Mm-hmm. So just knowing like, okay, that may have happened, but accepting that things happen for reasons is really where I looked at peace, you know, like, okay, I just have to accept this. You know, I don't have the answers. God only has the answers. It's very hard for people to accept that. You know, when things go left in our lives, that, okay, maybe it's something else. Maybe there's a different road I'm supposed to be on, and I'm trying to do it on my own. And he's like, I need you over here. So that is, for me, how I define peace, is just not allowing the smallest things to get to me, and accepting that when those things happen, it's for a reason. But now it's like, peace is just me. Like, that's how I look at peace. Peace is me. And I hope I embody it and exude it in a way that people can see, like, she's really peaceful.
I think everyone listening to this will resonate with that and will hear that in your speech, not just today, but anyone who's fortunate enough to see you speak in person. Yes. Thank you for sharing that. Yes. Come on, Olivia.
Come on, Olivia.
So I want to ask you, even as a motivational speaker, you are still human. So this means that you may naturally have moments when you're not feeling motivated or empowered, but what helps you get back to those moments and be able to share your overflow with others?
Yeah, you're right. We're human. I feel like even right now in the season that I'm in, sometimes I don't, you know, even the other day, I didn't have the energy to, someone called and needed me to speak to them and speak into them. And I was just like, I'm so tired. But again, one thing about it, two things for sure. God is going to tell you something. And if you want to be where you need to be in life, you better be obedient to what he's telling you. And so I was and answered that call. And that person thought about taking their life. Right. Mm-hmm. And even though I was depleted in that day, it filled me back up doing what I know I'm supposed to be doing. So when I'm not motivated, I think God sends people and assignments to me to show me that this is exactly where I'm supposed to be and doing. And that brings me back to life. That brings me back to reality. Be like, okay, Shannon, get it together. You know, outside of that, I will always say, I love a good, you know, gospel playlist. Like that brings me back to motivation at all times. Real you know, and it's so funny because I tell people I love the Lord, but I love Lizzo. You know, like I love even Lizzo.
It's balance.
You gotta have it. You have to have it, you know. And listening to some of her songs are empowering for me. And I love how she, you know, sings these songs because it's about empowering yourself. So I have to pour back into me. When I feel that so many people have taken away from me, I have to speak back to Shannon. Yeah. And so I love music. And so music will always bring me back to feeling motivated and like I got this, you know, outside of reading the word. But it's definitely going to be music for me that brings me back. If I'm not doing assignment.
Yeah. What is your go-to gospel song and your go-to Lizzo song?
Oh, that's good. So my go-to gospel song is, right now is Joy, the Choir Room. I love that song. Like it's like a hype song and it makes you say like, I used to be stressed, but now I wake up every morning blessed. Like I'm living my best life. Like even when I think that I'm not, even when things are crazy, like I don't have nothing to be worried about. I don't have nothing to complain about. Like I'm here. I am still alive with breath in my body. That's a blessing in itself. So it's like, I got joy. I truly have joy. Right. And I would say my favorite Lizzo song right now, I love the album Special. So I would say every song on Special. But let me see that song that she has. And I'm horrible with names of songs, but
it's all good.
Outside of It's About Damn Time, I would say it's a song that she has and she talks about like friendship. I love that song because I think that I'm setting a new definition for friendships in my life right now and what that looks like. And so I like that song because it makes me say, okay, I got me some, you know, whether they holy or not, I got me some good people that are supporting me.
Yeah. My go-to gospel, So Yes by Shekinah Glory, and I'm probably butchering the name, but I've loved that song for years, and it's one, that one and Goodness of God by CeCe Winans can pretty much always bring me to tears. And right now on repeat I'm listening to On Time God and Gyra.
Yes.
But yeah, like Yes by Shekinah Glory Ministry, just like, like a place.
And if you want me to, if you want to take me down, I would say Tasha Cobbs and Naomi Rain, He's in the Room.
Yes.
Because that right there is like, that's it right there. That sums it all up for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I would tell people all the time, the song around peace for me, and mm-hmm. I would encourage people to listen to is I Choose by mm-hmm. Doe.
Okay.
I love that song. Mm-hmm.
All right. I want to ask you something. You mentioned this, that you're in a state where you are reevaluating the definition of friendships for yourself. Mm-hmm. So, because relationships play a huge role in managing and maintaining peace. So what does that mean for you? Like, what do friendships and peace, how does that correlate for you in your life?
I still am, but I'm a diehard friend where, mm-hmm. you know, if I meet you, you're my friend. Like immediately, you know, and, you know, I have a lot of real close friends that say, Shannon, everybody's not your friend. I'm like, well, why not? Like,
you don't even
want to love thy neighbor. So this is my friend. This is my neighbor. You know, so I'm doing what God told me to do. You know, I don't know about y'all, but I want to get to heaven. You know, that's how I think about it. Mm-hmm. And so I find myself, you know, accepting everybody as a friend. Mm-hmm. And I'm learning now that everybody views friendships differently, even love differently. Because when we talk about love, it's just not about, you know, a male and a female or intimacy or like, you know, marriage. But, and for me, I have love for my friends. So I have to talk about mm-hmm. what love looks like, even in friendships. Mm-hmm. And it's very, you know, simple for me because it's not judgmental. We're not trying to, you know, keep score of things, you know. Right. So that's how I'm redefining my friendships. I'm looking at the true definition of love. And I'm putting that up against the people who are in my circles. Mm-hmm. So if there's any point where I feel like I can't grow with you, you don't support me, there's going to be a moment where we're combative against each other because I did something you didn't like and you couldn't accept it. Like, that's not true friendship for me. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I look at that now as I'm 38 going into 39, child, about to enter 40. Like, I think smaller circles are very important for me. Mm-hmm. And I would be one that would have so many friends. But now I'm like, I got a good solid 5. And I might even not even have that. I might have a good solid 3. Mm-hmm. And I don't, I want to remove the word friend, but I'm redefining the word friend. And mm-hmm. I don't really necessarily want to call people my friends. I want to call you my tribe. I want to mm-hmm. call you my family. Mm-hmm. I want to call you my sister, my brother. Oh. I don't necessarily want to say friend because it gets very tricky when we start using the word friends. And I feel like if I'm giving you a title of brother, sister, my tribe, that means you have different levels in my life. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm looking at, you know, people who play significant roles in my life or people who enter into my life now. And it's like, where do I put them? What level are they? I heard someone talk about that, like knowing where to place your people in your life. And that's what I'm truly learning. It's like, okay.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast. To our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
We just hang out every now and then. Maybe you're on level 1 and, you know, you aren't all the way my tribe, but you are starting to become part of my tribe. And then we could go up from there, right? And so I don't always want to call everybody a friend. An associate is just fine.
It is. And you know what? I appreciate you sharing your perspective on how you classify friendships differently now. And I respect it.
Yeah,
I respect it. So I wanted to ask you, the topic of our discussion covers pushing through adversity to pursue a vision that's been placed in your heart. So when was the time that you had to push through and continue to pursue a vision?
I would say I'm currently even doing that right now. Mm-hmm. Right. Because even though I've had peace over problems, I had it more on the merchandise side. Mm-hmm. Like, I just wanted to sell it as a statement on t-shirts and sweatshirts and things like that. And now knowing that my true purpose in life is to be a motivational speaker and an inspirational speaker. And I came to find that, and I would encourage everybody to go check this out, this app called Teledipity. It mm-hmm. really just helps you know where you're supposed to be in life, your purpose. It just plays a part in the pieces that you may be trying to put together to know your purpose. And my chart read, it literally said that Shannon's wealth and life journeys will come from her speaking and writing. Mm. That she's meant to motivate masses, encourage people through challenge. Like, it literally read me. And this wasn't, and I wasn't the speaker at this time. I was truly like, I'm a paralegal. I'm an administrative assistant. I just want to have peace over problems with the brand. Like, that is where I was, right? Yeah. And then I saw this. And even when I saw this, I still fought against it. I was like, no. But God will continue to put you right where you need to be when he puts a vision in you. And that's where I had to come in terms with and say, okay, God, it's not my vision anymore. It's yours. So knowing that my vision isn't my vision, mm-hmm. but it's God's vision given mm-hmm. to me, I just keep going. You know, I just find ways to create spaces where I'm able to speak, create spaces and assignments and encounters with people where I'm able to motivate, because I know that's what I'm supposed to do. And when it gets tough and it gets hard, and trust me, it gets hard. It is not easy walking in your true purpose. Mm-hmm. Because there's going to be moments where you feel like, this the ghetto. Like, God, mm-hmm. this is not where you want me to be. Are you sure you got the right person? Like, is it supposed to be for me? And so I find myself sometimes saying, like, God, are we still on the same page here? Because I'm not seeing it. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. I just have to remind myself, it's not my will. It's not my purpose. It's truly his. And it's for a greater purpose, which is the kingdom, right? And for other people to come behind me and feel encouraged and motivated and inspired when they are down on their luck, right? So I push through knowing that it's not about me. It's not about Shannon. Mm-hmm. So when I get down on myself, it's like, girl, it's not about you though. So if you stop now, what's the people 10 years gonna, you know, do? Because when you think mm-hmm. about it, think about things that we, okay, let's take Michael Jackson, for instance. Mm-hmm. My nephew, who is 9 years old, loves Michael Jackson. He wasn't born with Michael Jackson. He was already, Michael Jackson was dead and gone when my nephew was born.
Yeah.
He only knows him because of the works that he put out.
Yeah.
So if I stop now, I will not have works that I could put out for somebody to come behind me in 10 years and hear my speech or a book that I wrote or anything like that, whatever I may have that leaves a blueprint in this earth. So I can't stop. I got to keep going because it's not about me.
So how did you arrive at that point of selflessness in pursuing your vision?
I literally, so you said it early, I surrendered. Mm-hmm. And I'm a person that I see other people who tell me what God wants to tell me because sometimes I can't hear them. Mm-hmm. And I found myself in a group of women that all spoke to me about, you need to be a speaker. You need to do this. And I was just like, y'all, stop trying to tell me I need to be a speaker. Because if I have to be honest, that was my biggest fear. Public speaking was my biggest fear. I wanted to be an attorney. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be an attorney, but I said I wanted to be a entertainment attorney because I wanted to be more on the document size, or I didn't want to be in a courtroom. I was too afraid to fight for people in a courtroom in front of a judge because I'm like, I'm going to stumble over my words. I speak too fast. I was told at an early age I was dyslexic. I might be sitting and reading and mess up. Like, that was so frightening for me to speak in front of people. And to be here now, pushed to speak in front of people, is it still scary? Yes, but I love it. I love it where I'm at. And if I had not gotten over that fear, if I had not done the work if I had not self-reflections and really, really sought purpose, like I don't think that I would be a speaker today. I would have been doing something that I probably don't enjoy, you know, and I'd probably be mad. But now, even in the hardest moments, because like I said, it gets hard. Storms are going to come, and they can be downpours. They could be a light sprinkle some days. I never know. But now that I am in purpose, all those storms that I come across, I know that I could get through them. I know that the rain's going to stop. The lightning and thunder is going to stop. It's going to give way, and the sun is going to shine. So it's okay, because I have joy in all this. Like, I tell people a lot of the times when they ask me, like, how are you doing this and not working like a job? Because I'm so fulfilled. Even when I'm sitting here about to cry and break down, I'm still fulfilled because I know where my mental state was when I was working at a 9-to-5. And I know where I am now and how peaceful I am in my spirit doing something that I know God is telling me to do instead of doing what Shannon is trying to tell herself to do.
Well, you covered the next question, which was going to be what motivates you to push, and you've outlined it all. And it seems like, one, identifying that it's a vision that God has placed on your heart, mm-hmm. and pushing through in order for him to get the glory and other people to be blessed, because ultimately that's why he mm-hmm. wants the glory, so that other people can be blessed.
Yeah.
And witness your testimony, and because there's a reason why he gives you these visions.
Listen, it is. And I also feel like my parents passing can't be gone in vain. Like they birthed mm-hmm. me. I can't just stop because they're no longer here. I have to keep going because I have a legacy now to leave. Like they left me. Right. And so I have to keep going. But the other thing that I wanted to say to that, and what you just touched mm-hmm. on, is the vision that he gives us. I feel like he gives, you know, everybody may have the name Shannon. A lot of people may have the name Jessica, but no one has our calling. No one has our calling. No one is here to do what another person is meant to do. Like, we all have our own callings, our own purpose in life.
Okay. So I wanted to pick it back up on just talking about how you were really inspiring us, describing how you're able to stay motivated through those human moments, and just sharing with us that there may be another Shannon, but her purpose isn't your purpose. And can you elaborate more on that for the listeners?
Yeah. So like I said, you know, maybe a million people with your name in this world, and maybe it may only be one person with your name, and maybe mm-hmm. no one has your name, and that's even more special, right? But no one has your calling. So even if someone comes along years from now and has your name, they still never had your calling. And so when I tell people that, I want that to resonate in their spirit, to know that you're set apart. McDonald's mm. is McDonald's and Burger King is Burger King. Even if they write next to each other, they still produce what they need to produce for their audiences. So I'm here for my audience. Someone else who has a name, Shannon, is here for their audience, and they're not the same. And because I know that, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, what he's telling me to do, not based off of somebody else, not based off of the internet, not based off of my own emotions. Like, yeah. My calling is my calling. No one can take it. No one can alter it. I can mess it up on my journey when I'm thinking, oh, I want to do it my way. But mm-hmm. God's still going to bring it back to me.
And to take it a step further and do it for the culture, McDonald's is McDonald's and McDowell's is McDowell's.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
come on, come to America.
You know, we had to take it there.
I love it. Yes.
So, I wanted to also ask you. I know you've had times that you've been able to push through, but just like you've had those times where you've pushed through and you've been able to do that, you've also had times, like many of us, I'm sure, where you considered quitting or you did quit. Can you tell us about that and what the result was of quitting? And the reason I say that is because there are times, to tie it into your story, what you were speaking about your previous job, vocation, however you want to describe it, where you had to leave that situation because you understood it wasn't serving you and you needed to pursue this vision. So I want to give you the opportunity to expand on that.
Yeah, I mean, you just took it right from me because that is truly a time where I quit my job. You know, it's sometimes we don't understand, like I said before, we don't understand why certain things are happening in our lives until later on in life or some time passes by, right? So funny story about me coming to Atlanta and how it ties into my purpose. I never wanted to come to Atlanta. Like this literally, like this was the one place that I was like, Lord, you can move me anywhere in the world, but do not move me to Atlanta, Georgia. I do not want to come.
Okay. So you were describing leaving your last position.
Yes. So yeah, I did not. Atlanta was not the option ever in life, right? And I said, and the crazy thing is I started working for UPS when I was in Indianapolis.
Okay.
And again, this journey, I think, is just set up like in for a story because when my mom passed, I was in Gary, Indiana. My brother and his family live in Indianapolis, Indiana, which is like 2 hours away.
Okay.
And my sister had just had a baby. The baby boy, the only boy. They have all girls, one boy. The baby boy. And, well, he's not the baby because they had twins after. But but he's the only boy, right? And it came a point where she was about to go back to work. And she was just like, I got to pay for daycare. She started telling me how much it was. I was like, girl, that's a lot of money for a child to go to daycare. I mean, like, to have, you know.
It's expensive. What?
Yes. And at the time, I was still looking to move out of state. Like I was trying to get to North Carolina because that's where majority of my friends are. That's where I went to school. And I'm like, I'm getting to North Carolina. And my sister said, but what if you, because my brother really was like, you need to move here. I'm like, absolutely not. And she was like, but what if you, you know, I was like, you can pay me to watch him. She was like, but what if you really did do that? And I was just like, wait, hold on. So and she tricked me, but I say no, God really set it up that way. So I ended up moving to Indianapolis to be their in-home nanny for my nephew.
And the story, so you moved in with your sister and you were taking care of your nephew.
I was. And then I started working at UPS, thankfully through my aunt, because I literally moved to Indianapolis with no job. My dad was like, you moving with no job? I'm like, hey, they need me. They going to pay me because they paid me to take care of my nephews. So I was like, well, I can make it off of that, but I need a job. And so my aunt was like, I know somebody at UPS. I'm like, okay, great. And so I get into UPS in the HR department because I was like, I'm not lifting nobody boxes. Like, because I knew that's what they did. I'm like, y'all see me as a UPS? No, not at all. So they was like, well, you could get in the office. I was like, oh, okay, you know, because again, I did not know. Of course, I knew, obviously, it's a corporation, but I didn't know the ins and outs, right? Right. So I didn't even think about an office being in Indianapolis. So I got into the HR office as administrative assistant. Mm-hmm. And my manager, you know, she saw a lot of potential in me. And, you know, she knew that I went to school for law and criminal justice and everything. And so she's like, what do you want to do? And I was like, you know what? I never thought about that. Because again, there was a time that was a point where I was very just lost. Like I did not know what I wanted to do anymore. And, you know, I was like, well, you know, my background is in law. And, you know, I would love to work for the legal department in UPS. And she was like, okay. So again, when you speak things into the universe, God hears you and he's like, all right, let's work it. You know, let's do what we gotta do. And that's how I felt. Like he heard me say that and he literally worked my plan for me. Because I then got a position in our business development office, and then I'm full-time, and I'm like, okay, good.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping, and this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels, but my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal, game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Once I got there, they asked me the same thing. Like, what do you want to do? And I was like, well, I want to be in the legal department. He's like, well, you know, we don't really have attorneys, you know, locally there in the corporate. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, well, that's in Atlanta. And I was like, oh, no, just cancel me. I don't want to go no more. I don't want to do it. I literally was like, I don't want to go to Atlanta. Can we find another way? So I was trying to be like an investigator for UPS, go into like that department. I was trying to do everything but go to Atlanta. And so then a position became available. And the crazy thing is, because they knew I wanted to do that, my manager knew of an attorney that was coming to town and said, we want you, you know, he's coming to town, da da da. Came to town, two attorneys, I met with them, had lunch with them. They asked me all the things that I wanted to do. I told them too. And I was like, I just don't want to come to Atlanta though. And they say, well, that's where our legal department is. And I'm like, okay. Literally the following week, maybe 2 weeks after they left, because it was like June when they came. So I would say comfortably like August, maybe.
Okay.
He calls me and is like, there's a administrative assistant position for him. And I said, like, I already applied for it. Because I had. And they were like, okay. They pulled me right away. Literally, they said, you need to be down here in like 2 weeks. You need to be here in like 2 weeks. I was like, hold on, wait. I don't have no place. Like, I was still fighting it. And I literally prayed. I said, God, you already knew. I told him, God, I'm not moving to Atlanta unless I have unless my job moves me there or I am in a relationship. Girl, and I have both.
I had both.
I had the relationship and the opportunity with my job to move to Atlanta. And so I said, well, I guess I'm going to Atlanta. My cousin came down with me to find a place. And literally that following week, I was packed up and moved into Atlanta to be in the legal department for UPS. Right.
Yeah.
So I looked at that store and I'm like, there's something for me in Atlanta, obviously, because I was against it. I said, these are the only way I could come. God made sure I had those things because I broke up with my boyfriend 2 months after I got here, 3 months after I got here. Relationship. So now I no longer had the relationship, but I still had the job.
Yeah.
And then fast forward, I get here in 2019. COVID happened in 2020. Everything shut down. I'm working from home. And now I'm hating my job because I felt like it was just set up for not people of color and mainly females. And so that was a hard thing to see because coming from Indiana, all I saw was people of color in management. And I just knew I was going to see the same thing here or get that same type of welcoming and feeling and community. And I didn't. And I was surrounded by older white men that were like years in, about to retire. So they weren't trying to, I was just like, this is very, it was so stressful and chaotic and everything. And then it ended up, so in that story, the girl who I worked with literally next to me, she was a paralegal and I was like the assistant. Her name was Shannon. So it was like Black Shannon, White Shannon, right? Takes a temporary assignment and they put me in her role. So now I am a paralegal in UPS. I was just like, here I am. This is where I want to be. But it did not feel good. It did not feel, I wasn't at peace. I was surrounded with chaos, stress, everything. I took a disability leave for 2 months.
Really?
And then I did not come back. I quit. Because in that time, I was able to say, God, I'm not happy. Yes, you moved me here, but I feel like you moved me to Atlanta for something else. I wasn't trying to come into the city. I stayed in Sandy Springs. I was like, I'm not even trying to go into Atlanta, the city. You know, I don't want to go downtown, nothing like that. Ended up moving into the city. Like, God literally just made provisions and things happen for me in my life to where I had no choice but to find my purpose in order to be happy again, in order to have that peace. Because when I moved here, yes, I had peace over problems, but at that job, I didn't have peace. My mental was so just compromised, and I was just in, felt like in a chaotic state. And I was finding myself kind of spiraling into, I don't want to say depressive moments, but just moments where I didn't have peace and I wasn't happy. And I said, God, you brought me here. You made a way for me to get here. At this time that everybody was shut down because of COVID, I started crafting again. I started producing my product and everything. And I'm like, okay, is this what you want me to do, God? Like, is this where I'm supposed to be? And then I started networking and I saw the opportunities for me in Atlanta. And I said, this is where I'm supposed to be. Girl, I changed my license. I became a Georgian or whatever you want to call it. Like,
oh, you were serious.
Yeah, I was serious. And I had never changed my address from my home address. Even when I went to college, even when I was in Indianapolis, I never changed my ID. It always stayed the same. So for 35 years, my ID, my address, everything about Shannon was in my parents' house. And then I said, God, I see something here and I see what you're doing. I still don't know all what the story is and how it's going to end, but I'm just going to follow what you're telling me to do. And I got connected with people, and the person who really helped me realize that I needed to quit my job was my friend, who's a spiritual strategist. She made me visualize. I never knew how to sit in silence, meditate. I would fall asleep. meditating would be like, okay, it's time to go to sleep. And she was able to help guide me through visions that I was having, but didn't really understand them, but also help me dream bigger. Like, but what do you want? And I was just like, oh, where do you see yourself? And clear as day, I had a vision where I was on stage speaking. I could tell you the color suit that I have on. I could tell you that my husband was in the audience, like all these things. And she's like, talk to her. And then from there on, that's when it just started to be planted in me. But I had to quit my job. I knew I just couldn't be there anymore. So where most people are like, I don't want to quit a job because of financial situations, I would encourage you to quit. And I know most people be like, don't quit without something else. No, God is a provider. He will provide. And Pastor talks about this a lot. He doesn't give you what you need in the beginning of the journey. He gives it to you on the way. But he's waiting for you. If you don't take that first step, then you will never know what's on the other side of your fears and your scariness and things that you're afraid. Like, when I saw what was on the other side of me being afraid, I can never go back. And I tell people this, even right now in my financial situation, I don't want to go back to a 9-to-5. I remember where I was, and I know he doesn't want me there, but I also know that there is something else on this side, and I cannot compromise what I've already experienced. Yeah. So quit your job.
So what I kept hearing as you were speaking that I couldn't quite articulate and find the words for, but identifying the purpose in your quitting, not just quitting because you're uncomfortable, because that's going to be, we're going to have that at every stage of life.
Yes.
But you found and you identified the purpose in your quitting, and it tied into you pursuing the vision that you have now.
Yes, because again, when we talk about our visions and how storms will come, my vision definitely became blurred, because again, I didn't motivational speaking. I quit my job and I was like, I'm standing 10 toes down on my crafting, on my brand, getting my merch out there and everything, signed up for a program, and all that didn't happen. Like, it just seemed, it wasn't aligning. It felt harder than I thought it should. It wasn't truly just coming together. And I was just like, okay, this isn't working. But I didn't stop. I pivoted and I said, okay, if this isn't it, then what is it? But then I got back in his presence and I said, well, you got to show me, because I truly don't know. And that's when he brought the resources and the people and the community that I needed to show me that speaking. And the one question that I always would tell people to ask themselves, like, I have a niece right now trying to figure out her purpose, is ask at least 5 people that are truly the closest to you, what do they see that you do well on a day-to-day basis? And like, how do they view you? I asked my friends and family that, and a lot of them said, like, you are so encouraging. I was just like, okay, you love to talk. I said, okay. You know, so when I put all these things together and knowing what I wanted in life, I said, okay, I think I know what it is, you know. And then when God showed it to me clear as day, I said, that has to be it, because I love to talk. I'm on the phone. Or what do you feel you do every single day that you may not even think of? Like, so for me, it was talking to friends, telling them, like, you got this, girl, you know, you it's okay. And their marriage, which was crazy because I'm not married. And I'm like, girl, it's okay. You know, you guys gonna work it out. And it's like, I could get paid to encourage and talk to somebody. Like, stop playing. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So the journey is not easy, and it doesn't happen as soon as you quit. It doesn't happen as soon as you take that leap of faith. But if you know he gave you something, you cannot stop knowing that that vision, once blurred, will be clear again. And you will find exactly where you're supposed to be. And it's just going to work out and be a beautiful story.
So the next thing that I wanted to ask you is, based on your experience personally, as well as now being in the space of being a motivational speaker, why have you found that people lean more towards abandoning the vision than seeing it through?
It's something that you said in that question that said that is exactly why. You said seeing it through. A lot of people because they can't see fully what it is going to be. They can't see, you know, when we take our leaps and we don't know the end of the story, we stop and we abandon the vision because we don't have all the details. Mm-hmm. We can't see past step one. And yeah. It's like, he's not going to give you all the steps. Sometimes he'll give you the end and then take you back to the beginning, and you got to work your way to what you saw. And that is truly the vision, right? But knowing that you saw something at the end and saw how great it was, and you don't know what it requires of you at step 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, people begin to second guess themselves, doubt themselves, and they can't see past the moments in which they find themselves in when it gets hard. So I would definitely encourage people to change their perspective, shift and you know, their lenses, you know. We go to the eye doctor, we get our eyes checked and all things like that. And you know how they have us cover our eyes and stuff like that. Like, you may not be able to see out this eye, but this one is strengthened.
Woo! So,
yeah, listen, you may not be able to see the whole thing, but he's going to strengthen you. You got to keep going. Mm-hmm. Because once you remove, you'll see 2020. So it's like, when that distraction is removed, 2020. When those people leave your life, 2020.
Mm.
You know, and so that can be sometimes hard because we want to hold on to certain things. We want it to play out a certain way. We want to take people with us, you know, and sometimes we have to remove and strip down and just, hey, God, I can't see ahead, but I know you've already gone ahead.
Hmm.
I'm going to trust you because even though I can't see it, you gave me something and I God just ain't just saying, oh, yeah, that's going to be yours, and he playing. Like, no, he's saying that this is yours. And so if you believe that in your spirit wholeheartedly, you have to keep going. And you know, when things happen, it's just there to blur your vision. And you got to be able to get through those moments and see that there's a bigger picture once you persevere and keep going.
Okay. Okay. No, I'm just taking it all in and letting you teach the people.
Yeah.
So I know this is probably the opposite of what you share with your audience, mm-hmm. but are there times, and we previously touched on this in terms of your personal experience as far as leaving your last position,
mm-hmm.
but are there times when, like other examples that you can give our listeners, when abandoning, let me rephrase this, because your position, it was a part of a vision that you had for yourself, but I think based on what I'm hearing from you, it wasn't necessarily a part of the overall vision that you had for your life.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to explore with you, even though this may be the opposite of what you share with the audience, your normal audience, mm-hmm. are there times when abandoning a vision is necessary, even if this abandonment is temporary?
I think is necessary when it's no longer his vision, it becomes your vision.
So yeah. How does that happen?
When we start trying to take hold of the thing that is only for him to control, when we start saying, okay, I want it faster. So I'm about to do X, Y, and Z because, you know, this is taking too long. So now I'm trying to speed up the process and I'm doing things that I have no business.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Doing. And it's no longer now. And, you know, God will allow us. You know, he gives us free will. He'll allow us to go out there. Go ahead, explore. Do, you know, you think you got it. Go ahead. You try it.
You're wrong.
Right. And you're wrong. You're going to find out that you are. And sometimes what people fail to realize is that that makes the process even longer. Because he could have been right there the next day about to bless you with everything that you was waiting for, but you decided to take it in your own hands. So I would say abandon the vision once it becomes your vision, once it becomes what you think it's supposed to be and not, you know, it's no longer what he has told you is going to be or what he needs it to be for his kingdom and the glory for him. So I would say abandon it when you get out of alignment. Okay. And even if it's temporary, have a plan. You know, because life happens, you know, when my mom passed, you know, life truly happened. When my father passed, life truly happened because here I was working in my purpose at that time when my father passed and I had to literally stop, you know, to care for him, funeral services, be, you know, in Indiana. I was in Indiana for almost 2, maybe 3 months during the passing and then after the passing. Okay. So my life literally stopped, you know, right. Thank God for remote things and being able to do things on my computer, but my life stopped. And that was a pause in my vision. But because I knew that this vision was going to come to pass and that God was going to show me that this was my purpose and this is where I would be walking in, I had to sacrifice the now and really just say, right now, my family needs me and not my purpose. Because it's going to be there. It's not going anywhere.
Okay.
It's not going anywhere, you know. And God knows every journey of our life. So he knew I would lose my father that moment. But I think that he knew with the loss of my father would test everything he was building in me. And I felt that strongly because when my father passed, people were worried about me like how I was when my mom passed. But I really embraced that peace. I really embraced everything that I speak to people about when we talk about grieving. I really did the work. I went to therapy. I was in grief counseling. Like I did all the things to prepare me. So when life happens, it's okay to take that pause because you have to know that you have everything that you already need within inside of you, or he's going to bring it to you. And then he's going to restart that vision once he sees that, okay, my child is better. She's strong. We back on it. Like, yes, but you cannot lose sight of that vision. You cannot lose sight of what he's giving you because the pause can be a day or two, 2 months, 2 years. We really don't know. But I think in any pause, and I like how when we say pause, it makes me think about a movie, right? And when we pause the movie stops, but we may run to the bathroom real quick, run and grab something to eat, right? So the vision may pause, but we still have the opportunity to still pour into the vision, even though it's not moving. Right? We still have the opportunity to go over here and take this course real quick, or go over here and go to therapy, or run out here and sign up for, you know, funding or whatever it may be. You know, because the vision may have paused, we still have the ability to keep doing something around it. And then we can hit, you know, play again, because now we ready.
I love that analogy. Yeah, I do. I really like that analogy.
Yeah.
And so how would you help our listeners distinguish between when you need to completely abandon a vision or pause it? And I know you touched on this a little bit when you talked about when the vision becomes more of ours instead of God's. And maybe that's something you want to expand on, or if there's anything else that you would describe for them, for our listeners to know.
I would say when your spirit is uneasy. Because why would God give us something and we have to struggle through it or not have happiness and joy in it, right? Again, life is going to happen. And sometimes people don't even accept the fact that God is a God that corrects us. So sometimes he will be angered at us. Sometimes we do get reprimanded for the things that we do. And that is okay, because we have to think about like Job in the Bible, when he lost everything and God allowed the devil to test him. Like, God allowed that to happen because he knew who he was. So God is going to allow certain things to happen in your life because he knows who he know who you are. He knows that you are able to get through this. He knows that you have the capabilities and the skill sets or the resources or the strength to overcome and endure a tough season, right? And so I would say that abandoning and pausing the vision is sometimes okay. And you are exactly where you need to be. He's giving you exactly what you need. And don't be afraid to go through trials. Don't be afraid to go through those hard moments, because it's all preparation. And when you can't accept that, you have to say, okay, am I okay? Is my spirit settled? Do I find joy in doing this? Do I even sit for a moment and say, let me sit in stillness to hear his voice, but also to visualize what my life, what I want it to look like. And I don't want to say what I want it to look like God is not in it, because I feel like in those quiet moments, he's there with you and he's helping you think it through. He's helping showing you exactly what you're asking for. So if you're saying, you know, God, show me every area of my life where you're at work, and you sit there and he shows you. Now he showed you something that you may be like, man, I'm going to be there. I'm going to do this. And it's like, yes, I'm showing you now because I need you to keep going, because it's about to get good. And something I love Tasha Cobb say is, don't quit before it gets good. We can't quit before it gets good. We don't know what's about to happen. We think that this is it, and it's like, this isn't. If you wake up every single day, there is an opportunity for you to see your blessings pour down on you.
That is so true.
Yeah.
Just give it one more day. And then when you give it one more day, it'll motivate you to give it another day.
And then another.
And then before you know it, you've given it another week. And then before you know it, you've given it another month.
Absolutely.
And then before you know it, you look back and you're like, I'm a year in on this.
Listen, my friend, literally, I talked to her today. She said, Shannon, you inspire me. You know, you've been out of your job for 2 years. I said, dang, I have.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, man, it's been 2 years. Yeah. That's a blessing in itself.
It really is. And God has sustained you.
He has sustained me in so many ways. Like, wow. Yeah. It's been rough, but I didn't go back. I haven't given up. I haven't folded, right? I pivoted. And that's the key. When you walk away from certain things, you can't fold in the journey. You just have to pivot and say, okay, let me just try it on this way over here and see if that works. And again, go back to him every single time and say, guys, show me something else. If this didn't work, where do you need me now?
Right.
Do not give up on what he's given you, and do not give up on yourself. Because our limited beliefs are stopping us from our unlimited breakthroughs, our unlimited successes. So if we're not believing it for ourselves, and our belief system is everything, if we don't believe it for ourselves, then who's going to believe it for you? I can't.
And everything is going to flow from that.
Absolutely.
With that, we've talked about pushing through in times of adversity, seeing the vision through, understanding when it's necessary to abandon the vision or pause temporarily. What are some tangible things that the listeners can do to stay the course of pursuing their vision or visions?
One, start with daily affirmations. And not only that, let me backtrack. I would say the very first thing that you have to do is have a heart of gratitude and thankfulness. I had a friend, and I didn't realize this, that, you know, again, we do things and sometimes we have to know that other people are seeing us too. So we have to be mindful of how it can affect them. But a friend said, I remember when we were, when I was in Miami doing a workshop, and she was like, every morning you woke up and you said, thank you, God, before you even, you know, put your feet on the ground. And I said, no, absolutely. Because he didn't have to wake me up, and he does not have to take me through this day. So I'm thankful right now. Like, I'm just thankful. So my heart of, you know, my attitude of gratitude is very important. So I will give that to the people. Like, have a attitude of gratitude. Be thankful in every situation. That's the first thing. The second thing I would say is daily affirmations and pouring back into you. Because you have to be strong enough mentally to overcome every challenge that's going to come your way, because it's going to come. Because when you start walking in your purpose, doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing, it's not an easy thing. And it's something that you'll find things are happening left and right, and it's making you question what you're doing. It's questioning your gifts. So I would say making sure your mental is strong by pouring back into you, because no one else can do that for you. And the third thing I would say, really write the vision down and make it plain. And I know that's so cliche, and I know we talk about that in the Bible. I know we, you know, people say, okay, yeah, but no, but truly write the vision down and make it plain. Tell God exactly what it is that your heart's desires are, because he's going to align his will with yours, and you'll see those things happening. And you'll look back and be like, oh my God, I did that. And then you did that for me, you know? So I would tell people to, those three things will help you stay the course when it gets hard. It will help you when your vision is blurred to push through. I think that's helped me a lot. And the last thing that I feel can help someone is just meditating, sitting in silence, having moments where you can find clarity, because peace does not come from chaos. Peace does not come from chaos. So you have to sit still sometimes, rest, which was the hardest thing for me to understand how to get it, and what it looked like. It's important and it's key. I was never a napper. And I'd be like, how do people nap in the middle of the day? Like, that's crazy to me. But now I'm like, when I rest, I find so much clarity. So I would tell the people to make sure you are resting, pouring into yourself, having an attitude of gratitude. Because, you know, you got this.
So I want to repeat those steps for everyone. So you said number one, starting with an attitude of gratitude. Number two,
pouring into yourself. Self-affirmations.
And so, you know what? Actually, let's pause there. What are some ways that listeners can pour into themselves in addition to the affirmations? Because you spoke about rest as well.
Yes.
And rest is an asset.
Yes, for sure. And I would love to send you something to share with your audience as well that, you know, that it helped them, like activities that they could do to build self-esteem. Going on solo dates. I know people are like, well, even if you're married, even if you're in a relationship, it doesn't matter.
It's necessary.
It's necessary. Because I think a lot of times we view ourselves and we think about how other people view us. And when you take the opportunity to go sit somewhere amongst strangers in a place that may be unfamiliar or familiar to you, sometimes you don't want to do that because you're like, are they looking at me? Are they thinking this? Are they thinking that? And it's like, no, that's where you have to throw those things out the window and believe in yourself.
Yep.
I would say solo dates, activities that you enjoy, not activities that like, social media, like scrolling on social media, that's not activity. you know, that's not activity, because that can feed negativity back into you. And you have to be mindful of that. So when I say activity, maybe go walk in nature, go to the movies and see a positive movie, not a horror maybe. You know, I love horror, so I can't, but I would say maybe not see a horror movie, but going and joining a class of something that you like to do. Like for me, I was I'm a dancer. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was here and I was in my transition, I was taking dance classes. Mm-hmm. That helped me, right? I would just say find activities that you can do that you know you enjoy. Maybe it may be knitting. I know people like to do that. It may be crossword puzzles or, you know, coloring. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, you have to have something that you can say, when I take a pause, I'm going to do this, which allows you to rest, but also pour back into me and help me build my strength back up, because I may be feeling weak at this moment, or I may be feeling worthless, you know, and I hate to say it like that, but you know, I may feel like I'm not enough. Mm-hmm. And so let me go find something that makes me smile. So then my energy and my spirit feels that smile, feels the positivity, feels me being renewed. And then I'm strengthened to keep going.
Okay. All of those are really great suggestions, honestly, especially the solo dates. I love that. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy having a beach.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Stay by myself. I love going to the movies by myself. There is a restaurant here that I love that has dollar sushi Monday through Friday for an hour, and they have it all day on Thursday. Mm-hmm. If none of my girlfriends are able to go, I will go in there, and those people know me. Mm-hmm. When I come in there for my dollar sushi date, and I'm not ashamed, and I run it up until the time
ends. Right? Because that's like a soft girl era feeling, right? Mm-hmm. That's a luxury feel for you, right? That's something that I could be like, I feel rich when I do this. I feel great when I go do this. Like, I'm like, I am who I am when I'm walking in there getting my dollar sushi. You hear me?
That part.
So, yeah.
That part, all those things, it's really important. You know, I don't minimize at all. And I'm someone who emphasizes the importance of relationships and community, but it also is important to have those moments by yourself, like you said, so you're not focused on anyone else. You're just able to be still. And during that time, you never know. God could share some creative things with you, or it's just a moment to just rest. You're not focused on conversing with anyone else, pouring into anyone else, you're just being poured back into.
Because those are the moments where, like you said, he will show you exactly. And it may be you go somewhere by yourself or you do that activity and then he brings someone into your life that you would never encountered if you did not do that thing.
Yep.
So we have to be mindful of those things, like sometimes doing for ourselves, sometimes taking pauses, sometimes, you know, just getting out of our comfort zone, our box that we just try to stay in, that's when the things are going to come that you need, that you're seeking. Like, you're like, oh, I need this. And it's like, but if you take that step outside that box, boom. And it's hard. It's sometimes hard.
It is.
But I encourage people to not be afraid of fear anymore, but embrace it. Mm. Because fear really is like a stepping stone in your purpose. It's not meant to stop you, but it's meant to promote you.
And how would you encourage someone to embrace fear?
By changing the definition of fear. So a lot of times we say false evidence appearing real, but I like to change it and say fight everything and rise. Or fight even after the ruins. And that's it. We have to change what fear looks like for us. And that's truly how you can overcome it. Because once you see that your fear really is just something that is, you know, something that you're telling yourself is real and it's not. Fear truly is something that we place. And it could be, you know, moments where we have fear just because we're comfortable and complacent. Not because we're truly afraid of doing that. It's just because I'm comfortable here and I don't want to shake up nothing and go over here. That's where our fear can come in, right? And so that's why I tell everybody, you know, you have to, and I know I said fight everything. I meant to say face everything and rise. You got to face it. Face the challenges. You find strength there. You find peace there. And you find purpose there that you may not have ever known that you had.
What would you say to the person who challenges that by saying, I can't find peace there. That scares me. I'm peaceful where I'm at, not being scared. What would you say to encourage that person?
That you set yourself up already when you said, I can't. How do you know? How do you know? You know, and that's real. I literally just had a conversation with a friend who was calling me about a position that she wants, but she was like, but I don't know if I really want. And I said, what's the problem? She was like, but I don't think I can. I said, hold on. Why are you thinking about what you can and can't do when God has obviously put you where you're praying for? Like, she wants to work in the school system, an opportunity come for an interview. And she's like, I don't think I should do it. I said, girl, what do you mean? Is this not what you prayed for? Yeah, but I'm afraid. Like, even today I talked to her. She's supposed to get the call today, so I'm gonna call her later. And I'm praying that she gets the position. But she's like, I went in that interview and they told me it was a lie. I don't think I could. I said, why do you keep telling yourself that you can't do something you're praying about? That's crazy to me. It's like, that's the other part of fear. We sit here and we pray for things and they come faster than we want them to. And we're like, whoa, 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 wait, I'm not ready. You are ready. Because again, he's not going to give you what you need in the beginning. He's going to give it to you on the journey.
So yeah. You got to go. Peace agrees.
Listen, amen. Peace. You're not giving mommy peace right now.
She's giving us joy.
Listen, okay. And
she's cheering you on.
She's gonna be in trouble. Lay down.
She's cheering her mommy on. So one of the prayers, I'm glad that you touched on that in terms of thinking that you're not ready, because one of the prayers that I pray, not just for myself, but loved ones, friends, like community that I build, is that I pray for increase, but God, give us the wisdom to handle the increase. And so I want to share that because I agree with you. You are ready, but I just want to share that to encourage the listeners that that can be a way to prepare yourself. And God is, and I think when you surrender to that, God is preparing you in ways that you don't even realize.
Absolutely.
So I agree with you. Definitely lean into it. Don't run from a blessing that has presented itself to you. If God has given you a vision and brought you to a certain point, he'll bring the resources and the things in order for you to be successful.
Yeah.
We're not worth his reputation. So he's not trying to look goofy based off us. So he's not going to bring you somewhere and just let you fumble. Like, he's not set up like that.
And I think that was the greatest thing that I heard pastors say is that it's his reputation. So all I gotta do is go ahead and do it because he ain't trying to mess up his reputation. So when I was like, okay, that's let me go apply for some stuff because it's about to be his reputation.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, I love that. And I love that prayer too. And I'm gonna start saying that for myself because wisdom is definitely
what is vital.
It really is.
Got that.
And I like that you said that because it made me think about how we view faith sometimes. And when people talk about faith the size of the mustard seed and things like that, it's like, we got to go a little bit deeper because I had this girl, I was on a live and we were talking about it. And she was like, we all don't have faith. And I was like, no, we all have faith. Like, it's not something that just comes to us. We have faith because when you woke up this morning, you already had a plan that you set up from yesterday. You're like, I'm about to do this, this, and this. So you got to make it happen, right? Even if I preached at the church and he said, you have faith in that chair when you sat down in it that you knew it wasn't going to break.
Yep.
And you sat down. You know, we have faith knowing that our job is going to be there sometimes. You know, people be like, oh, I got to go to work tomorrow. How you know that job going to be there? Because you got faith. So when you know, we have faith in the things that we ourselves are comfortable in, but we don't have faith in the things that's going to make us uncomfortable. We don't have faith in the unseen. But I always tell people, because this girl said this, and I love when she said it. She said, some of y'all mamas didn't know how to make a baby. I mean, how to have to be a mama, but you out here practicing having a baby. I said, ooh, that's good, because you're right. You're not trying, you know, or maybe you are trying, but you're probably not. But you still doing what you're doing. And then the baby comes, you don't know how to be a mom. It's no handbook for that.
Yeah. So step three, remind the listeners what step three is.
So we had attitude of gratitude, pouring into yourself, an activity, doing something that, you know, brings you some type of solace. Mm-hmm. And then four was rest.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. I like it. Well, you've broken it down for the listeners. Mm-hmm. So now we're at the end of our conversation. And one thing that will continue in season two is that I always like to close out by asking my guests one style related question, because we are here for style and conversation. Mm-hmm. So I want to ask you, in this new year, what are some things that you're looking forward to experimenting as far as your personal style, experimenting with?
Honestly, I would say dressing up, not saying like dressing up like suit and tie type of dress, like formal wear, but just putting on clothes every day, even if I don't have somewhere to go.
I like that.
Yeah. I would say that, because it's preparing me for those moments when I do have somewhere to go. I already know what to put together, things like that. It's not me overthinking it. As well as, I feel like I have so many clothes that I don't wear because I'm so comfortable in my sweats and things like that, that I'm buying things for occasions, but it's like, but I can wear that right now too, and it's going to make me feel good and feel like I'm already there.
You know what? I really like that. I really like that. That's very motivating.
Yeah.
Especially in this remote digital space. I like that. Exactly. Yeah, I really like that. I think that's good.
On some, like, a t-shirt and some jeans or some sweats or leggings, you know, that'd be a thing. And it's like, but wait. Or me, I wear my brand pretty much all day and every day. So even learning how to know that even if people don't see piece of a problem as me wearing it, they still know who Shannon is. And I feel like that's going to come when I show up in all ways. So putting on the clothes that I already have and embracing those clothes.
I love that. I'm glad that you shared that with us. And so with that, you talked about wearing your brand.
Yes.
So I want to give you the opportunity to tell the listeners where they can find you, all the platforms that they can keep up with you. There are any upcoming projects that you want to highlight and share with us? Now is your time to shine.
Yes. So one, I love this conversation. I learned even a lot about myself in this conversation and the journey that I'm still on, right? But I would love for people to stay connected with me, because I am about to do a lot of great things this year. Mm-hmm. And you can connect with me on all social media platforms, Piece of a Problems Co. So Piece of a Problem CO on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, Facebook group, join my group. I know I'm dropping some things in there this year that is going to, you know, help people and motivate them on their daily journeys. And then, you know, email info@peaceoverproblems.co. If you want to book me for any speaking engagement, any organizations, schools, come and speaking to students or faculty, because I have a presentation around mental health in the workplace, because I think that's very important to talk about. So if you want to connect to me on any of those platforms, I am here for you. Oh, and peaceoverproblems.co for any merchandise.
Stand up so everyone can see you, because the way it's covering your sweatshirt, and I want everyone to be able to see it. So let the people know.
And we have them in different colors, your style, whatever, t-shirts, we have sweatshirts, we have hoodies. And I do plan to drop more merch this year, more sets, and getting ready for the fall. I mean, for the spring.
I love that. Well, I just want to thank you so much for your willingness to come on and share not just your talents, but your personal story, which ties in so much to your testimony and your bravery to have shared all the things with us that you did. And I'm excited to see everything that you do in 2025 and beyond that, and just how your brand continues to grow, and that the listeners will be blessed by this message and be ready to go forward and continue pursuing their vision.
Yes. And I want to share and say also, I can't not leave and not give you your flowers. Oftentimes, you know, people, we want to spotlight the guests, but what you're doing is so great. And I, you know, charge you to keep going and don't stop. You're having conversations that are necessary. And the way you even have the conversations around style, I like that because it's a confidence builder.
Thank you.
I love what you're doing in the community right now with your podcast. It's amazing.
Thank you. You know, I really appreciate hearing that. It means a lot. I'm following. I started a vision that really was as small as a mustard seed. And then God was like, okay, you took this next, you took this step. So we're going to take this next step. And I was like, really? We're going to do this? We're going to talk about this? We're going to continue to talk about my faith walk, and we're going to talk about my abortions and all the things on the podcast in public. Okay, let's do it. So
yes. And I love that for you. That is such inspiring in itself, because so many people are afraid to share stories. They're afraid to be vulnerable. And you give us a platform where we can have open, honest, vulnerable conversations, but it's still with grace, is still with no judgment. And I love that. You know, even what you say in the board, I had one too. And that was something that people, when I was 17. Yeah, I was 17, I went 18, I was a senior in high school. And so even to hear you say that, it's just like, it's amazing, because that carried with me up until maybe 3 years ago, where I just didn't feel like I was worthy enough to be a mom because I was holding on that traumatic experience. So I love you sharing that, because people need to hear those things. People need to know that you're no less than who God called you to be because of that moment. And it's okay. Like, you could still be the president. You could still be whatever you want to be, even with that minor. And that goes back to us talking about when we're not in his presence and the vision isn't ours anymore. Like, at that moment, we weren't focusing and working how he wanted us to.
100%.
That makes us less than a person, because we had that one moment in time. He still loves us.
He does. And, you know, I heard something in church. It was at the top of this year. One of the ministers said that, you know, as humans, I'm paraphrasing, but like as human beings, we qualify people based off accolades or what they've done or haven't done, just whatever. But one thing she said is that those are the things that actually draws you closer to God. And it took me, that was a separation for me for a while. And I felt so unworthy and so ashamed, and even questioned like, okay, God, are you going to bless me to be able to be a mother? And, you know, sharing it more, and then hearing from other women, I just opening up that space for people, and even not just women, but anyone, like someone who may have struggled with addiction or like a colorful past, like whatever that looks like for anybody, like God don't love you any less. Like, God calls the unqualified. Listen. And that's who Jesus would have kicked it with.
Yeah, absolutely. And they say he was crazy for doing that. So yes. And that's why I'm so happy to see the conversations that you continuously have on your podcast. They're necessary. Like, don't ever question that. Like, should I have this conversation?
Yeah, I appreciate also what you said as far as my brand and my vision with style, because that is important to me. And that's what I always say is that I focus on helping women enhance and or build their confidence through discovering their personal style. I don't believe in tearing anyone down or coming into your closet like Kanye West and just ripping everything out. Like, that's just not, it's not that serious. It's just
right.
Not,
yeah. Yeah.
It's not that serious. And that's also not how you allow someone to exhale and feel comfortable being in their own skin and just enhancing what they already have.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that. That's very helpful for me to hear that from someone else. So I receive it. I appreciate it. I appreciate you. Yay. And I just can't wait to see people reach out to you about this. One of many episodes that you will do.
Yes, yes, because you have bring me back.
Oh, yes. Yes. I have me here, there. Yes.
Listen, so yes, thank you so much for having me.
I appreciate you. And with that, Style Crew, we are out for the first episode, not just of 2025, but of the second season of Style and Conversation. So make sure you're back next Thursday because we have some more exciting episodes, some more exciting guests coming, and I cannot wait for you all to be blessed and be engaged with us this season. And with that, we're out. Hey, Style Crew, make sure you're keeping up with our podcast through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, as well as the Podcast Index. And if you'd like to view the podcast visually, check out my YouTube channel, Styled by Jessica Lauren.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal, game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.